Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study in Psalm 119. Together, I would like us to look at verses 153 to verse 160 of Psalm 119. Our study is entitled, When You Need an Advocate. When You Need an Advocate. So let's get right into the Word of God together now. Psalm 119, verse 153 through 160. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Now, I just want to note that these verses doctrinally apply to the Jews in the tribulation. But as these series of studies have been on Psalm 119, or devotional, more than doctrinally, amen. So we're really going through Psalm 119 on a devotional basis. Now, when you need an advocate, situations arise that are beyond our control. There are times when you and I may need a lawyer. In fact, you and I as Christians have been accused in the court of heaven by none other than the devil. Look in Revelation chapter 12 with me for just a moment. We'll come back to Psalm 119. But in Revelation chapter number 12, look with me in verse number 10. Revelation 12, verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, in the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And again, the accuser of our brethren. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren. And a good case in point would be Job. For example, look at how Job, in the book of Job, let's turn there, Job chapter 1, how the devil, Satan, amen, accused Job, amen, before Almighty God. Job chapter 1, in verses 6 through 12. Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Just to show you the sons of God here, a reference to fallen angels, amen. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So here we see in chapter 1 of Job that Job is accused by the devil, that the devil says basically that he doesn't obey you. Job doesn't obey you for nothing, amen. It's because you got a hedge about him, you're protecting him. Let's turn to chapter 2 and verse 1 of Job. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou hast moved me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." Now this is what the devil is saying. You know, if you touch... Now Job, in chapter 1, lost all his personal possessions, amen, his material goods, his family, and now, you know, he lost his children, and now Satan says, well... he'll do anything to keep his life. Amen. But and then we see in verse 6, "But the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And here comes along Mrs. Job, and then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." And of course, Job didn't. But here we see the accuser of the brethren, amen, accusing Job. But praise the Lord, Christians have an advocate. We're reminded in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John wrote, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 tells me that Jesus is my counselor. Praise the Lord. You see, the unsaved don't have an advocate. As we go back to Psalm 119, we see in verse 155, it says, "Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes." The unsaved don't have an advocate. They have no rights. They have no hope. James says in James chapter 5, verse 13, "Is there any afflicted? Let him pray." Compare that to what's said in verse 153 of Psalm 119. We read, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law." You see, the psalmist was praying because of his affliction. Just as the book of James wrote, instructs us, if there are any afflicted, let him pray. Now, as we get into the meat of our study today, when you need an advocate, we're going to look at three main points. The first one is a case to ponder. The second main point is a cry to petition. And the third and final point we'll look at in our study is a cause to plead. Now, we see then in verse 153, Psalm 119, we see the word consider. In other words, he's asking the Lord, weigh the evidence. Do I have a case? He says to God, "If you will consider my case, I believe you will come to my aid." Notice the psalmist's dilemma. He asks God, "Consider my affliction. Consider my affliction." Amen. He says again in verse 153, Psalm 119, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law." He appeals here to God's pity. And he appeals to God's power. He says, deliver me. Amen. He's asking God to deliver him from his affliction. And he appeals to God's promise. Looking at verse 154, he's asking to be delivered. Quicken me according to thy word. Amen. Now, look also at the defense. He said, he asked the Lord to consider my affliction consider my affection for your word. This is his defense. His dilemma, he has an affliction. He asked God to deliver him from it, and he appeals to God's piety, his power, and his promise. And now the defense, he's saying, the reason that you should consider my case, my dilemma, is because of my affection for your word, God. In verse 153, he says, for I do not forget thy law. In verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts. You see, the psalmist was committed to God's word. Amen. He says, I do not forget thy law. In verse 153, he says, I consider God's word. And yet, in 157, he says, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. He goes on and he says, I continue in God's word. And then in verse 159, he says, I love thy precepts. In other words, I cherish God's word. You see, cooperation with the advocate is essential to winning a case. If I did not love your word, my plea for deliverance would be meaningless. That's what the psalmist is saying to God. If I did not love your word, my plea for deliverance would be meaningless. In other words, we cannot expect God to help you and I if we don't love his word. Our prayer is inseparably linked to our attitude towards the Bible. Notice with me what it says, the word of God says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. It says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So we have to love God's law. We have to listen to what God has to say in his word. And if we don't, and we pray, he's not going to hear our prayer. It's an abomination to him. In other words, can you or I honestly, with confidence, ask God to consider how much I love the Bible? Amen. The psalmist loved God's word so much it grieved him when others did not keep it. Looking in verse 158. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. Why? Because they kept not thy word. You see, my friend, grief is an outgrowth of love. So, if you really love God's word as the psalmist did, you'll have grief over those who don't. Amen. Let's turn our attention now to the second main point of our study, a cry to petition. He says, deliver me. Amen. Deliver me. In verse 153, and then he says, deliver me again in 154. In other words, rescue. He's asking God to deliver him or rescue him. From what? Well, we see in 157, many are my persecutors. In fact, persecutors, 80 times he makes a reference to persecution in this psalm. He also, not only to be delivered from his persecutors, but from his enemies in 157, and be delivered from his transgressors, from the transgressors, amen, in 158. And there's a difference, my friend, between a friend and a foe. Amen? Friends do not decline from God's word. Amen? Verse 157, we read, many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. You see, foes reject God's word. again. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word, in verse 158. Now, the measure of one's distance from God is determined by one's relationship to God's word. See, to be near one is to be near the other. If you're near to God's word, then you'll be near to God. Amen. A cry to petition. He says, deliver me or rescue me. And then he asks God to quicken me. Three places. Verse 154. He says, quicken me according to thy word. Verse 156. He says, quicken me according to thy judgments. 159. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. He's asking for a revival, a new infusion of abundant life. In fact, that expression, quicken me, occurs 11 times in Psalm 119 alone. My friend, asking God to quicken you and I cannot be asked too many times. But quicken how? Notice, he's asking God to quicken him how? Make him alive, revive him how? According to God's word. In verse 157. Amen? According to God's word. God's word is alive. Is it not? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we read in the Word of God, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul, of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yes, the Word of God is alive. He asks him to quicken him. According how? To God's, not only to God's judgment in verse 156. In other words, deliver him according, deliverance him according to God's judgment. In other words, a matter of God's conditions. And what does it mean to be infused with life? It means to be able to live life to its fullest extent. And what does this require? This requires the removal of things that God judges to hinder this kind of living. And then again, he asked to be quickened according to God's loving kindness in verse 159. And that's a matter of grace, God's loving kindness. It's a matter of grace. We don't deserve to be quickened, but we're quickened. Amen. Because of the grace of God. Now we come to our third and last point in our study. A cause to plead. A cause to plead. Notice, he says here in verse 154 of Psalm 119, he says, plead my cause. Let's compare that with what it says in Psalm 35, verse 1. Psalm 35 and verse number 1. Again, a psalm of David. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Amen. And look in Psalm 43. Psalm 43 and verse 1. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Again, here we see he's asking to plead his cause for other reasons. Amen. Looking in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel with me. In 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. In 1 Samuel 24, in verse number 15, we read this. The Lord, therefore, be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. Amen. This is David pleading, asking God to deliver him out of the hand of Saul. Looking in Proverbs. Again, we're looking at some verses that are asking God to plead my cause. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. In Proverbs chapter 22 with me, in verse 23, we read this. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. And of course here, the context is the Lord will plead the cause of the poor, those that have been robbed, amen, those that have been oppressed and afflicted, amen. Then in Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 50. Chapter 50 of Jeremiah, verse 34. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name, and he shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Again, the Lord, amen, pleading the cause of Israel against the Babylonians. And then Jeremiah chapter 51. Verse 36. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead the cause. I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. And again, he's talking, the Lord will plead the cause of Israel against his enemies here. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And then one last place together in Micah. You know, praise the Lord that we can go to the Lord and have him plead our cause. We can say, as the psalmist did, plead my cause. Micah chapter 7, verse 9. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Praise the Lord. Isaiah prayed, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And then the psalmist wrote in Psalm 140, verse 12, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted. And thank God that we have an advocate. That you and I have an advocate. Amen, in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I think of that, notice what the Apostle John wrote in his first general epistle, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He reminds us, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is our advocate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we have to ask the question, do we have a cause worth pleading? For example, Lord, we can ask him to plead my cause. Lord, we're trying to win souls. That's certainly a worthy cause to plead to God for, amen? Oh, Lord, I'm trying to raise a godly family. Oh, Lord, we're trying to practice good stewardship. Oh, Lord, we're trying to get a building built for your work. Oh, Lord, we're trying to train Christian workers. Oh, Lord, I'm trying to maintain a good Christian testimony where I work or where maybe you go to school. Amen. But praise the Lord that we can go to the Lord. And as the psalmist said here, plead my cause and deliver me. Amen. And quicken me according to thy word. The unsaved do not have an advocate. No, they don't. But praise the Lord, you and I do have an advocate in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go to him. Amen. Remember, the accuser of the brethren, Satan. Amen. He's going to and fro, up and down, accusing us to God, amen, probably on a daily basis. But we have an advocate, amen, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what an advocate he is, because not only does he intercede on our behalf to the Father, but he brings the payment of his shed blood to the Father to pay for our sins, amen. And so, when the devil accuses you and I, and God the Father looks down, when he looks at the blood-bought child of God, all he sees is you and I covered in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you ain't shouting right now, then there's something wrong with you. Amen. The blood is something to shout about. Amen. If you're saved, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, then when you die, you're going to heaven, your sins have been forgiven. Amen to that. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Again, when you need an advocate, we looked at today in Psalm 119, verses 153 to 160. We looked at a case to ponder. The psalmist asked God, consider my case. And then the second thing, he cried to petition. He not only asked God to consider his case, but to deliver him, rescue him. And then finally, he asked God to plead my case.